What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 17 of the Complete Strength Podcast. I'm Andy from Apocalypse Training Systems. In today's episode, we're going to be going over, first of all, why it's been 2 weeks since I've done a podcast. We're going over that. We've got a question from someone who does parkour and some crazy jumps. I'll talk about him later. I've also got a couple of questions on training splits through the week, how to organise it. All right, so thanks for listening, and I hope you find it useful. Okay, so going through the Instagram questions that I've been doing, I got a message from a guy called, well, on Instagram, he's Tay Jumps, and his name is Taylor. Now, dude, I'm already sorry that I'm going to butcher your last name. I really struggle with O-U-G-H words. So is it a off, or a, is it like a cough, or is it ow as in plow, or is it off as in tough? I am sorry. So I'm just going to call you Taylor B, but it is B-R-O-U-G-H. Sorry, buddy, please correct me. And he's from Perth in Australia, who's a parkour coach. I'm looking at his stuff that's on here, definitely follow him because there's impressive shit on there. I'm just watch one of them. Yeah, Jesus. There's one where he does his first two dub corks. I don't know what that means, but I'm looking at it and it's pretty fucking cool. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it's definitely worth a follow. Tay Jumps, he's called, at Tay Jumps, T-A-Y-J-U-M-P-S. So anyway, going back to Taylor, he's asking a question about his training. So I'll just read his question out. It was, all right, so I'd love to hear about programming a routine for someone trying to gain muscle. Okay, so I'm currently doing a 4-day progressive overload, but I see a lot of people suggesting doing 3 full body days instead. I'm 5'10", 56 kilo, and my goal is to get around 70 plus and lean, as it helps with my jumps. And he sent me his 4-day split here and through a spreadsheet. I'm always in awe of someone who can work a spreadsheet because I am absolutely rubbish at them. That's why I pay a monthly service to have someone to display or to wrap my programs onto, and they kind of distribute it out. Yeah, if you ever heard of Trainer Eyes, yeah, that's why I use them, because I'm absolutely hopeless at spreadsheets. So he sent me that. So first of all, I'll look at some of the questions. Well, I'll address part of the question and I'll have a look at his split. And then I kind of give my opinion, if that's worth anything to you. I'm sure it does, seeing I asked the question. But so he's currently doing a 4-day progressive overload. I see a lot of people suggesting 3 full body days instead. Yeah, I'm kind of a fan of the 3 full body days. It's what I do with my coaching, with my group guys that I coach. So the guys that come in for group training, we kind of do full body sessions, and that's 3 days a week. I think a lot of literature now suggests favouring full body workouts rather than splitting the body into upper lower over 4 days. It kind of definitely ticks that frequency box. So splitting up your frequency over the week, but I've had a look at your program. What I'll do is I'll go into frequency a little bit more. So what I mean by frequency is just that you're hitting muscle groups more than once per week. So it saves you blasting those muscle groups, having a full chest day, blasting chest, and then it's taking a while to recover. So with increasing the frequency, what we can do is we can probably split like an upper body day into maybe like 3 sessions, possibly 4, which allows us to recover between each sessions, and we're getting good quality working for each session. That's the kind of way that I do it with my guys. So I do like full body workouts. Well, it depends on the individual really, but it's usually a full body workout. Oh, quick sip of coffee. It's early morning here on a Thursday, so got to get my coffee. Right, yeah, so he also puts in another message. We've messaged him back and forward on this, but there's another message that he's putting in. He said, Matt, it'll also be worth noting that I'm training my sport 1 to 2 times per week on my rest days. So if he's training his sport, I'm guessing that's practice. So what I'd suggest with everyone, and it's the kind of method that I go with everyone, is if someone's already playing a sport and they're using strength training to enhance their sport, then their sport is priority. Everything you do outside of that kind of has to fit in with that main sport. So if you're training too hard and it takes you longer to recover, that's affecting your actual sport practice. That's when we kind of need to look at the strength area, not to change your sport practice, but to change the strength training aspect of it. And then I give an apology for the 2 weeks that I've been away. It's just a January rush, man. It's just a lot of people wanting to get involved with our gym, which is absolutely awesome. We've had other coaches coming down. We've had a new coach starting. So Adam, who started here, he's been getting his clients up. We've had classes on. It's just been very, very busy and something I had to give. And unfortunately, it was this podcast for a week, but I'm back onto it now. So going back to Taylor's program, let's have a look. I'm going to ask him if I can add this so you can actually view it. He sent it to me, so hopefully. So you can have an idea of what. So it's quite hard when I'm explaining what it is. So but basically, so I'll try and give a good example anyway. So it's a 4-day program. Day one is bench press, dumbbell flat bench, incline bench, decline bench, free flies, but assuming chest flies, cable, free flies, so I'm guessing like a dumbbell fly and a cable fly. So he's very much chest orientated. Day two, he's got under shoulders, so it's like a dumbbell seated press, standing barbell press, dumbbell Arnold presses, half rep standing lat raises, cable crossovers, shoulder press, plate machine, legs, it's a full leg day of back squat, leg press, dumbbell walking lunges, RDLs, hip thrusters, leg extensions, hammy curl superset, biceps and back is pretty much all just back work, and bicep work, some curls, barbell preachers. So it's very much one muscle group per day, apart from the chest and back, biceps and back, sorry. Okay, so it'd be good to if I probably have to speak to you in person on it, because I'd like to know what your recovery was like. So for me, if he was doing a lot of, so for day one, I'm not quite sure what his split days are. So let's say it was like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday was a rest day, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, I'm using that for an example. It might not be that, Taylor, but I'm just going to guess that. The only issue I see with training so much work on chest and volume, so it's like on some days it's 4 sets. So I'll say, so on day one, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. So there's 19 working sets, pretty much just on chest. It'd be good to know how you felt after that. Because usually going off experience, chest would be pretty smashed from that, pretty torched. So what I usually do is, and again, this is only my opinion, there might be hundreds of people who disagree with me, but I'm sure there's going to be just as equal amount of people who agree with me as well, is when we're looking at training body parts, what you're doing is you're crushing that body part as much as you can, which is quite rightly putting it into, giving it a stimulus, a very big stimulus that the body must adapt to. So for adaptation, it might take the rest of that week to recover from that. So you might be sore from your chest, from that, looking at that workout, 19 sets of chest work over one day. Rep schemes of anything between, was it 8 and 10? Yeah. So rep screens, 8 to 10 reps, and it's like 19 working sets overall. That's a lot of volume for one session for one body part. What I'm more likely to do is probably split that over. So let me give you an example of one of the guys that I, so some of the trainings that we do. So on a Monday, it's usually a lower body day, lower body focus, should I say, but there's still some upper body work on there. So try and think back to what we did on Monday. So it was a squat focus. So I want to say squat focus, it doesn't automatically mean like it's a barbell, because some of the guys here are, well, have a higher training age than others. And what I mean by that is that they've been training longer, so they can adapt some more, so they can use barbell work more effectively. So when I say a squat variation, it could be anything from a bodyweight box squat, it could be a goblet squat, it could be barbell, it could be safety bar. So some kind of squat, whether it's loaded or unloaded, it's irrelevant. So it depends on the person, really. So we'll do like a squat movement. After that, I'd like to start off with some upper back movement. So we give the legs a bit of a rest. So anything could be like a vertical row or a horizontal row. I tend to go for a horizontal row straight after a squat. No particular reason. I think that it's a good, we try to aim to do more horizontal rows than vertical rows, just to try and reverse all the internal rotations that we have from like the shoulders, lats, you know, just from a lot of the guys that come here, a lot of them are desk dwellers, so they're sat at a desk or they're driving all day. And even some of the athletes that we've had in with their sport, whether it's like boxing, MMA, they kind of have that rounded shoulder position. So we'll try and get some, we got more horizontal rows than vertical rows in. So we'll do like a squat, some kind of horizontal row. So that could be a bent over barbell row. It could be chest supported rows. We have a seated row machine over here, so we use that quite a lot. It could be ring rows, depending on your training age. So again, if you're a newbie, it could be something like ring rows, or it could be like a barbell assisted row, or a barbell assisted pull-up, should I say, like a chest bar. So we'll set up a barbell and the power rack, probably about chest height, and we'll get them at an incline and we'll do some rows there. After that, we'll probably do some unilateral work, so single leg work. So it could be a sled push, could be a box step up, could be a split squat. There's lots of different variations that we could do. It could be a single leg hip thrust. So some kind of single leg work. After we've done that, we'll probably do some accessory work after that. So that's kind of supplemental work or accessory work, whatever you want to call it. We'll add that in. So it could be dependent, that'd be more individual to the person. So if they were really suffering with rounded shoulders, we'd do some more back work. If they had a particular goal, whether they've got some back pain or hip mobility issues, we'll address that as well. We'll address that through fillers. So we'll stick that in between sets. So rather than just sitting down waiting for your next set, we could be doing a little bit of filler work, which is not very taxing at all. I usually finish off with some glute work and some core work. And then depending on what their goal is, if it's weight loss, we might get some light bit of conditioning in just to get a bit of a sweat going before they finish, or more of a sweat going, should I say. So that's kind of what they're doing. I know it's a bit varying, a bit broad, and it's not very direct, but that's kind of the template that I follow. And then on the second day, if it's a press day, we do kind of the same. So we'll start off with some kind of press variation. So that could be at the moment we're doing floor presses. So whether that's dumbbell press or just a push-up or some, we use the football bar, just try and give the shoulders a bit of a break. So we're doing floor presses at the moment. Again, straight into that, we'll do some back work. We'll do some leg work after that. So whether it's more squats, or we'll do some hinge movements, or like a kettlebell deadlift or kettlebell swings, or some of them doing deadlifts. We've got glute bridges, barbell glute bridges. So you can see how we're getting... we're doing full body workouts in every session that we do. So what I find that works really well for that is, first of all, the people are recovering quicker because they're not smashing one body part. And if any of them are playing another sport, so at the moment I've got people who do cycling, I've got some people that are training for triathlons, I've got Kyron in, who's an MMA fighter, all very different backgrounds, but when it comes to the strength training, their goals are pretty similar. It's to get stronger, but we're not about affecting their specific sport participation or training. So I'm a big fan of splitting frequency over the week, doing full body workouts just for that reason. It'd be good to know how long you've been doing that for, because, you know, again, individually, it might work for you. So I will drop you a message and peck your head a little bit about that, Taylor. It looks a badass program, but I reckon if it was me, I'd just probably just split between upper and lower a little bit more through the session rather than just smashing one body part. But again, that's just my opinion. So yeah, thanks for that, man. Let me know you're getting on. Get some more posts on there, because some of the stuff that you're doing, it's definitely worth more than the followers you have. You should definitely have more followers than that, because the stuff that you're doing is cool as fuck. Especially some of the guys in here that seems to do absolutely nothing and have no way near as many followers. So yeah, it'd be good to hear from you. Keep in touch, man. If that's not answered your question fully as well, Taylor, just go back on that. Just, you know, message me back. Maybe even get you on the podcast. I had another one as well from our coach, Adam. Just trying to find it. I can't remember what he messaged me on. Is it WhatsApp? It was talking about single leg work. Sorry, I'm switching between my iPad, my phone. That's the thing. If I get messages on different kind of formats, I'm going to have to say to people, like, try and get me a message on one format so I can find them all. No, it's gone. Nah, never mind. Well, the question was about... here he is. I'm just reading through. All right, here we go. So what's your opinion on single leg work in relation to exercise order in a workout? I'll read you exactly what I've messaged him. So it's, I've put, it depends. Again, it depends. I do feel it's a cop-out when I say that, but I'm going to stick by it because it does. But we need to find out a little bit more information on it. So I've put, it depends on the objective of the session or the program. I include single leg work in all of my programs, but load, volume, and exercise selection vary to the individual. I generally place unilateral work as an accessory to a main movement. And I do stick by that. So leg work, again, it depends. I've had people have single leg work as their main lift, so their main exercise, the first exercise after the warm-up. And that's if we have any kind of imbalances in their performance. So any kind of like hip alignment issues, which I'll probably get Ben to double check first before I go ahead with that. Again, great having Ben on board. Just so I can have another set of eyes on something. I'm going to have a sip of coffee. My throat's dry today. Oh, that's better. Oh, this coffee's pretty good. So yeah, for single leg work, most of the time I put it after a main lift. Or we'll say single leg work, it's like unilateral work in question. So if it's, if I'm doing a squat, then straight after that, I'll do some kind of single leg work. So that could be a box step up. It could be a split squat. I've even done like sled pushes after that. It depends what their goal is. But again, load and volume definitely dictates that. And it depends where I'm at in the program. If it's a hypertrophy block, obviously, I can put some more volume in it. If it's a strength block, we'll dial it down a touch. If it's power, then we dial it down a hell of a lot more, because we're looking at performance rather than volume, especially with regards to speed. And it's weird how you make noises when you're thinking of something. Make random noise like bubba. Yeah, that's pretty much it, really. So if I'm adding any kind of single, any unilateral work, it would be straight after that main lift. If it's a press, I really like dumbbell presses. I like push-ups. But with like it on like one hand on a medicine ball. I do like that. Just makes you work a little bit differently. It does highlight some of the imbalances as well. I like alternate dumbbell presses where like there's an isometric move at the top. So let's say if I've got both hands at the high top position for a bench press on the dumbbells, I'll keep my right hand in the air and I'll press on my left. So I could either do that one at a time. So my right hand will be up, my left hand will come down to press. Then I'll swap over, my left hand will stay up, my right hand will come down to press. Or I'll do a full 8 reps on one side while I'm keeping my right hand up in the air, holding the dumbbell, and I'll swap over and I'll finish that. I do like unilateral work. Like I say, it does highlight imbalances or any kind of weaknesses in an area, but also it makes you work for longer. So if you're doing unilateral work, one set is going to take longer than if you're doing bilateral work. I know it's kind of obvious, but that's the reason I do it as well. If weight loss is your goal, that's a really good one to put in. I think that's it. I just had those two questions a little bit. But again, if I'm not answering properly or if you disagree, please, please, please get in touch, because I like people disagreeing because it gives me a chance to learn about other ideas as well. Because just because I have opinions doesn't mean that I'm 100% right all the time. So thinking we're talking about like strength or anything like that, I don't think anyone's 100% right all the time. Because people have different goals, people have different methods. There's millions and there's endless methods to getting to where you want to be. So it's good to know as many as possible, really. What have I got on this week? Got Mini Savages coming in. Mini Savages are killing it at the minute. I'm getting really good turnouts for the Mini Savages and all doing really well. A couple of them doing rehabs as well at the moment. It's mad. It's crazy that I have to find that. There's like 12, 13-year-old kids having knee rehab programs. Or I'm doing knee rehab with them here. I just find it crazy. So I might make that a topic in itself and delve into that a little bit more. So like possible reasons behind that. But it will be interesting. It's good to know that that parents are thinking about the kids coming into like doing some kind of strength work. And strength's not seen as like a danger to people as they grow up. But yeah, that'll be a different topic in itself. That right, I'm gonna get off. So speaking of mobility work, I need to do some work. I've got a niggle in my rib and just in the back where it feels a little bit tight. I'm just gonna try and stretch out a little bit, maybe get Ben on that. All right, so have a good week, guys. I'll get another podcast out. So if any questions that you've got for the next podcast, please fire them over on Instagram if you can, please. If you don't, if you're getting through something else like Facebook or Twitter or anything like that, that's fine. But if you want to get through to me where I can see them all the time, I probably do most work on Instagram. I am working on the others, but on Instagram. So it's at @apoc_laves, L-A-V-E-S. Right, I'll see you next week, guys. Have a good week. Keep training.